Hey, everybody. God is good all the time. You guys are in great voice. Let's go. All right. Hey, do you think there's such a thing as home field advantage? I'm going to step lightly. We're not going to talk about what happened in Seattle a couple of mornings ago. I know, man. But, you know, they're not the only ones who enjoy a home field advantage. I mean, you know, on Thursday night, the good old Dockers. By the way, in case you didn't know, if you looked up on your Australian calendar, it is the year of the Docker. So, you know, pump it up. Go ahead and go to the next slide, Zoe. And, and so, what do you think it is? I mean, yes, there's comfortability about it, and yes, there is, you know, the rhythms that all, you know, people enjoy while they're at home, but there's something else to it, especially when there's effort involved, especially when there's the good old one percenters involved in the old sporting parlance, and, you know, when you're at the end or when you're in a tough contest, I reckon, you know, having 50,000 fans screaming for you and just cheering you on, that just gives the extra oomph. Talked about this before. 7 years ago, I ran 12Ks. And I say I run. Thank you. 7 years ago, Lance did something. All right, cool. I ran, using the term loosely, 12Ks. And out the CBD, running around the tunnel, running around Opta Stadium, and then ending up at the WACA. And all along the way, there were pockets of people banging drums, playing music. Come on, mate. You can do it. You keep on going. And, you know, suddenly I wasn't thinking so much about the stitching by side or my heavy breathing or the fact that this 5-year-old kid just passed me on the left. But I was like, yeah, I think I can do it. Yeah, I think I can keep going. There is something about people cheering you on, is there not? And so when it comes to this practice of gathering together, it's very important. There's a reason why God gives us each other. So if you have your Bibles, please turn them to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to be reading verses 19 through 25. Hebrews chapter 10, 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, thank you, Simon, for leading us through that remembrance, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for knowing what's best. Thank you so much for continuing to remind us that you're our advocate. And you have given us all things, including each other, to live a full life. Please give your speaker the words to say and give us all ears to hear what the Spirit has to say through your word this evening. It's in the Lord's name that we pray. Amen. And so let's talk about those last couple of verses, starting in verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly, hold fast, hold on. Here's the thing. Despite what you may believe, and despite what you've heard, God made the heavens and the earth, and it was good. All things are good. That's the default setting for our world. But the moment we decided there had to be something better, that we could forge a life apart from Him, we fell short of the glory of God. We sinned. We rebelled against Him. And almost immediately, as we read in that Genesis account, we started pointing fingers. We started blaming each other. It's her fault. It's the snake's fault. Where were you? And they felt naked and they felt ashamed. And all of a sudden, things just started splintering apart. Even up to the next story that we read, Cain and Abel. Cain asking, well, who am I, my brother's keeper? And of course, over all of this is our enemy. Literally, Satan means adversary in the old Hebrew. And we read about what he does in Job, in Zechariah. And in Revelation chapter 12, he's described as the accuser of the brethren, who accuses our brothers and sisters all day long before God the Father. And so is it any wonder? Maybe I'm just the only one who hears the negativity, who hears the, you're not good enough. What'd you do that for? You're an idiot. You have nothing to offer. Who are you anyway? You're no good. You can't do it. You might as well just give up. But thankfully, that's all lies. It's not the truth. Jesus came to reverse the curse. Jesus is the one who puts all things together. He's the one. And when we confess Him before others, when we say that remarkable line, I hope, at the beginning of your Christian walk, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we place our complete trust in Him. We believe in His truth. We believe that He is the one who saves. And as we just remembered, why in the world would He give His life for someone He thinks is worthless? You follow? It makes no sense. Do we really think our Lord and Savior is that stupid? Don't listen to the voice. Don't listen to the accuser. By the way, He's accusing God too. He's accusing everybody. He's a master in breaking us apart into tribes, into factions. He loves just isolating us and picking us off. But when we put our trust in Him, our confident assurance in He who is Father, Son, and Spirit, when we become His disciples, His followers, His apprentices, we are to immerse ourselves in who He is and how He taught us how to live, rejoicing in the fact that He is with us to the very end of the age. Do you believe that, Christian? It's critical to believe in the promises of God. Too many. There's a series of sermons that can be preached on the promises of God. There's a lot. And they're all good. And I'm telling you, the writer of Hebrews is absolutely correct. He who promised is faithful. And we need each other to remind each other of that. To counteract the voices. To counteract the negativity. Church is not a place. There is a place for guilt. You know, look, if you're doing something harmful to yourself or somebody else, that needs to be corrected. However, if we remain in that, it doesn't do any good. And so we hold on to the Lord's promises. And as we gather together, as we continue in verse 24, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, to provoke, to stimulate one another. When we understand who He is better, we understand who we are in light of how He sees us. And as we understand ourselves in light of how He sees us, we understand how He sees others, our brothers and sisters, as He sees us. And we understand how He sees the wider community as He sees us. You follow? And therefore, we are now His ambassadors in the ministry of reconciliation. We are participating in this great kingdom project to put things back together. You follow? And so every day, we as the followers of Christ need to be asking, just as our lives are better off with the Lord's presence, where else is better off with the Lord's presence? Who else is better off with the Lord's presence? You follow? And you ask that. And the brilliant thing about how the kingdom works is it works out in such simple, practical ways. I don't have to lecture this church about this too hard. You already know it. You were willing to give up a couple of Sunday mornings for strangers, people you didn't know, gathering together on my Love My Community Day to say, yeah, you deserve a clean house. Yeah, you deserve to have your gutters not overflowing. Yeah, you deserve this parcel of food. Yes, you deserve to have a bit of a break. Yes, you deserve to have a clean house. Yes, you deserve to have that meal. Because God has gifted me, God has blessed me so that I can be a blessing for you. Yes, you can. Don't believe for a minute. Yes, you can, as we remind each other in love for Him. Yes, you can be a good wife. Yes, you can be a good husband. Yes, you can be a good brother. Yes, you can be a good workmate. Yes, you can be a good neighbor. Yes, you can. Yes, you can live a life of integrity. Yes, you are deserving of a good life. Trust the Lord in this. And as we come together and we form together, we see the needs and we meet the needs. This is not rocket science. I love this church. We are a very loving church. I had the privilege of sitting in with the Connect group, and a common problem reared its head, and there was this couple who was going to have to host the Connect group, but they've got a young kid at home. And the young kid was like, and the parents were like, well, we can't really leave them alone. We're going to have to, so unfortunately, we're going to have to tag team it. And this is how they were speaking out loud before the whole group, and said, well, the dad will attend the group one day and the mom will attend the next. And then somebody else in the group said, well, why in the world should that be? Why can't the mom and dad attend the group together? And so she said, you know what? My daughter, she knows your son. They're familiar with each other. Why don't I ask my daughter to come on over to our house so that she can keep an eye on the kids, so that you can open the Bible together, pray with others, share each other's lives together as husband and wife. Novel concept. But isn't that brilliant? You see a need, you meet a need. You know, Jesus said, if you give a cup of water in my name, see somebody who's naked, you clothe them. You see somebody who's hungry and thirsty, You feed them. For whatever you've done for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you have done for me. And so this is why he brings us together. And he goes on to say, which, you know, is kind of encouraging and kind of distressing at the same time, verse 25, not neglecting to gather together. Apparently, this has always been a problem. This isn't just a modern problem. This is an all-time problem. Because we just, you know, relationships are messy. I'm messy. Sometimes I don't act like other people think I should. Some people don't think I respond in the way that I should respond. Some people don't think that I believe or think how I should think. And therefore, being with me sometimes is a pain in the neck. But thank goodness they hang in there. You know, one of the reasons why this is so attractive, I love it how they call it social media. Made up by guys who aren't very social, by the way. It's dysfunctional. Lift up thine eyes. But we love this because we can control it. We love this because there's an outcome to it. We love this because the algorithm steers us exactly where we want to go. Leads us to our tribe, and we can be keyboard warriors, and we can stand strong, and we can say whatever we want because we don't have to face them. But how silly. You don't even know who's commenting on those, who the threads are put by, where they're from. The whole thing is, yeah. But you know what? Yeah. I'll talk to you later. All right. Everybody worries about these things because, you know, everybody thinks that the smartphones and smart TVs that they're listening in. But honestly, you should be afraid of your vacuum cleaner. After all, they've been sucking up the dirt on you for years. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That was free. There is no substitute, friends, and you know it to be true, for face-to-face, for real, for sitting down with one another. There has been a couple of principles that we've talked about across these practices, whether it comes to prayer, whether it comes to meditating on his word, whether it comes to worshiping him. There's a couple of things, and it also follows here from meeting together, and that's presence and time. There's no substitute. Presence and time with him. Presence and time listening to him. And oh, by the way, that is a marvelous gift. A marvelous gift. If you can learn the art of listening, truly listening to one another, of being present with one another, even after your strength goes, even after you can't pull up weeds anymore, even if you're one of them who needs some of us younger folk to come over and clean your house, you can still listen. You can still have coffee. You can still pray with. You follow? And that's a mighty, mighty thing. As some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, I love that word encourage. You know what that is. It's when we give courage in someone. And believe me, love takes courage. Love takes strength. Love takes boldness. There's going to be times when you love people and you will not get that back. There will be times when you know that how a person is going is going to lead a certain way, but there's nothing you can do about it. And in those times, sympathize with your Father in heaven. But it does take courage. It takes those of us who are in this room, brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're toward the end of that marathon, when we're feeling those stitches, when we're breathing heavy, when we're about doubled over, say, come on, mate, let's go. You can do it. You've been doing so well. Keep going. It is vital. One other thing that I'll say about love, love is the great perspective giver. I've had the privilege of working for many parachurch ministries. One of the benefits of working for a parachurch ministry, and I'm sure a number of you chaplains and a number of those of you who have been involved in parachurch ministries, is the work is so acute, the work is so difficult. Trying to get someone off of drugs, trying to talk a person into making good decisions in their life, that their life is not worthless. You do not care what church they are from. You don't say to someone who is trying to get someone, yeah, I understand you want to get somebody off drugs, but can you tell me how many times you take communion per month? Yeah, I understand that you want to help out this mother through this crisis pregnancy, but can you tell me if you raise your hands in worship? You follow? Love gives the great perspective giver. It helps us when we practice love to keep the main thing, the main thing, the main thing. So, we're going to end this by doing a little exercise. Are you ready? Here we go. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to pair up. And hopefully, not required, I'm going to be glad that you're doing it regardless. However, for those of you who really want to pump it up, you'll sit with somebody you don't know. I know. But anyway, if you could, pair up now, please. Now, when you pair up, one person is going to talk to the other, and the other person is going to be doing some active listening. You're going to be going through these three. I'll give you a minute to talk about one blessing from the Lord. Just one. There's millions of them, but I just want you to talk about one. And if the minute isn't up, then the other person, this is what active listening is. You ask questions about that topic, and you just bring it out some more so that you can learn more about it. Then the second minute, I want you to talk about one gift from the Spirit that you can use to love others this week. How has the Lord blessed you? What are the gifts that he's given to you? And then the third minute, I want you to talk about one relationship you especially need courage and strength in this week. All right? And then the other person is going to pray for a couple of minutes regarding what you just talked about. And then we'll flip it and the other person will talk about those three and the other person will pray. Clear as mud? All right. Pair up, please, and I'll tell you when we're going. Oh, our Father, our Lord and our God, thank you. Thank you for always speaking with us. Thank you for always demonstrating yourself to us, for loving us as you do. Thank you for the promises that you have made since your creation came into being. And help us to remember that you are our advocate. And silence the voices of accusation of our adversary. Father, thank you Thank you that no matter who we are, you have given us the ability to take care of one another well. And that is a full and meaningful life. The life that you have created for each and every single one of us. Thank you so much that we follow your Son who ruled with a towel and gave the commandment that we should love one another as he has loved us. Thank you for emboldening us. Help us to cheer for one another. Help us to applaud for one another. Help us to be each other's best allies. Thank you for your Spirit that guides us in these things. Please grow us in the grace and knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. To you be the power and the glory and the honor forever and ever. Amen.